Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello, and welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on Acast. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. You should send your questions about cleaning, or anything else really, to joliecare@gmail.com. My guest today is David Obuchowski, the host of Jalopnik's excellent podcast, Tempest. Hi, David.
Hello, Jolie.
Welcome to the show.
Super excited to be here.
I'm very excited to have you. I have to tell you, I listened to the tour van episode of Tempest this morning, and it was so good, and it a little bit freaks me out. The swerving story freaks me out, and the story, I think it was your story about seeing the mirage in Utah?
Yeah, that was legitimately very frightening.
That was very, very cool. So you guys, before we get into today's episode, which is going to be all about cars, of course, it's going to be a Jalopisode, I wanted to tell you a little bit about Tempest. Tempest is Jalopnik's first official podcast, right?
Correct.
I think we got a cheers to that.
There it is.
We have beers because we're not driving.
No.
We're driving a podcast, but not driving a car, so we can drink a beer while we record today.
There you go.
It's also excruciatingly hot here in New York, so it felt like a good beer afternoon.
Scientifically speaking, this is the only way to cool down. That's what I think science says.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is science with a capital S says that.
Yes.
I'm positive of that.
Yeah.
So yeah, you guys, Tempest is a great podcast. It's a Jalopnik show, so it is about cars, but it's not really about cars. It's storytelling, right?
Right.
How would you describe it, David?
It's really just, I think that cars are one of the things that we all have in common. Like, we all eat, we all drink, like, we all breathe. And one of the other things that we all have in common is cars. And I don't mean that we all love cars. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, we've all ridden in cars. Mm-hmm. Some of us own cars. Some of us lease cars. Some of us rent cars. Whatever. Some of us
don't know how to drive cars.
Some of us hate cars.
Some of us are columnists at Jalopnik.com, a car website, and they don't know how to drive. That would be me, you guys.
which makes for an excellent opportunity to get you behind the wheel of a car with a stick shift.
Yes.
Of course.
And actually, I do want you to keep telling us about Tempest, I'm going to interject a little bit and tell you we're gonna a little bit burn one of our coworkers today.
Do it.
Mike Balaban, the deputy editor. You guys, the deputy editor of Jalopnik texted me in a panic this morning. He doesn't know how to wax a car. I was like, I literally responded, Michael, have you not ever seen Karate Kid? Wax on, wax off. Like, any child of the 80s knows how to wax a car because we watched Karate Kid.
Right.
So anyway, this all leads into, he and I told him the basics of what to do. And then I was like, but, like, honestly, there's nuance. And, like, I'll come, I love cleaning car. I mean, well, I love cleaning. Right. But my favorite cleaning task of them all, and I don't say this lightly at all, is washing a car. I love washing cars. It's just the most fun thing, like, you could do, really.
Interior or exterior, both?
Exterior, but like but the interior is it's not as fun, but it's kind of more satisfying.
Yeah.
And we're gonna talk a lot about car interior cleaning today. I think that's most of our questions about the interior. I think actually all of them are.
Yeah.
So Balaban and I are gonna we have a date, not this weekend but the next weekend, and we are gonna wash and wax his car and have some good times, and then I'm going to make some content out of that.
Okay, yeah. Before we go on, let's just stay with us for one moment here, because I also am outraged by this text message that you got, that he doesn't know how to wax a car.
To wax a car?
But,
and I totally, by the way, ratted him out to Patrick George. So here's the thing.
Good.
David, you know, Patrick and Balaban have been on this show before, as of Kristen and Raph, so like, that, you know, the audience listening to this knows their personalities, because the Jalopniks are very beloved by my listeners. Yeah, I ratted Ballad Band right out to Patrick. I was like, there's a Ballad Band emergency. I'm coming to the office. He's now, like, what now? I was like, do you know that your deputy, I don't know how to wax a car. I don't even drive and I know how to wax a car.
I think he needs to dock him some
pay. I think
pay.
So. Well, we did. You know what though? We did. We got approval to buy an expense an orbital buffer. So I'm really excited because I've never played with an orbital buffer before, and I love a power tool.
Yeah.
So I'm just excited. They're not expensive. They're like 20 or 30 bucks.
Let me say something in Ballad Band's defense.
Oh, yes, please.
As
please.
I think probably anyone who knows Ballad Band or is familiar with his writing knows, he has a Yugo. So I don't know which car he was planning on waxing, but a word of warning, if you're planning on waxing it or even getting it wet, there's a good chance you're going to break the car.
Yeah.
So that could be why he's never waxed it.
It did come out. It actually did come out. So it's the Lexus that
Lexus.
The new Lexus that needs to be waxed. And actually, Patrick asked that very thing when I was in the office. He was like, which car, the Yugo or the Lexus? And Ballad Band was like, oh, the Lexus. Like, the Yugo doesn't deserve wax. And I was like, I feel like the Yugo actually might just like repel the wax. Like,
right.
No,
yeah, yeah.
Get this off of my filthy shell.
Yeah. Yugo doesn't want to be waxed.
No, it does not.
No.
No, it does not. Now, let's get back a little bit to Tempest, because I sort of wonder why the Yugo wasn't a story within the Tempest verse, or maybe it's season two.
Could be. My focus really is telling these kind of really deep human interest stories. Each episode is a self-contained thing, as you know. And, mm-hmm. The car is just the jumping off point. So, you know, that's why, as you said, it's about cars, but not really.
Yeah.
And so, we're not overly focused on the car. It's more about, you know, the family story behind it, the tragedy behind it, the hilarious story behind it.
Right.
And so that's
and
what
there
I'm
have
going
been all
after.
Of those things.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean,
that's
some
what
of
I'm
the episodes
for.
Are really funny. Some are really sad. And some are just weird and fucking spooky. The first one, you guys, is weird and fucking spooky. You definitely led off with the right one to
Thank
set
you.
The tone for what the show was going to be. I don't want to spoil anything because I really, really want you guys to go listen to Tempest. It is just so entertaining. The other thing I like about it is it's a half an hour, which is exactly, to me, the right amount of time for stories.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The first one was, I don't know what I expected at all. I think I actually just went in. I knew Jalopnik was doing a podcast, and that was all I knew. I didn't know what it was going to be or what to expect at all. I knew it was going to be good because it's Jalopnik. But I listened to the first one, and I was so, so blown away. And I'm not just saying that because you're sitting here. I've told so many people about it. I was so blown away, and it was one of those things, and this is saying a lot for a podcast, which tends to be kind of fleeting in and out of the mind. I was still thinking about it like 3 days later.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I
was like, wow, this is like, it was a real, it was also very evocative of Della Reese Touched by an Angel. Without spoiling anything for you guys.
Well, I'm still thinking about it 22 years later.
I can for sure see why. So you guys definitely go check out Tempest. It is available on all of the places where you listen to podcasts. It is also now, I was actually just told right before we started recording, it's available on Acast.
Wait, that seems like one of these.
Yeah, we can cheers to Acast,
cheers.
My wonderful podcast network. I really want you guys to go listen to it. It's just wonderful. A very charming and interesting show.
Thank you so much. I cannot tell you how much that means to me. I have been reading your stuff. I've been listening to you for so long. It's just like, this is crazy. I feel very... I don't know. This is an honor. I'm a little bit at a loss for words, which is a bad thing to be for a podcast.
Once we get into it, you'll have more to say than you know what to do with. Speaking of which, before we get into it, I want to remind you guys that I offer bonus episodes and all sorts of other cool rewards to my premium subscribers. If you would like to help underwrite my show by becoming an Ask a Clean Person, the podcast patron, go to patreon.com/askacleanperson. All right, so you guys, obviously, this is a Jalopisode. We're going to be talking about car stuff. I literally just got a question when I walked into the studio that's kind of related to the first question I had planned. So I think I'm going to, like, spring this one on you.
Oh, boy.
And have you Actually, you know what? I'll do one better. I'm going to have you read the first question that I picked out from Charles.
Okay, here we go.
And then I'll read this one right after, and then we'll basically talk about him.
Okay. All right. Charles writes, "Hello. I'm dealing with beating a car or odor right now. I acquired a good deal on a recent car purchase, and everything was great until the next day when we realized the car smells bad, like a wet dog. I already used Osium, is that how you pronounce it?
In the AC vents
and left baking soda on the carpets overnight. It helped, but only marginally. What's the next step?"
All right, I have next steps for sure. This was the question from Charles actually like came in maybe like a month or so ago. It was right after I did my last Jalopnik column. I have to say, like, one of the great things about writing Ask a Clean Person on Jalopnik, and I'm delinquent, I missed a month. It's a once a month column, and I literally missed a month. I was like, Patrick, I'm sorry, I missed a month. I was in my defense, I was extremely unexpectedly busy for stuff for the New York Times. So, I was just like, sorry, boss. But I'm going to make it up to you guys. But one of the great things about writing this column for Jalopnik is that the readers are so engaged, and they are genuinely, like, not out to troll. Like, they are really happy to be on Jalopnik. They're happy to be part of a community. Like, so the comments I get are amazing. They're always incredibly funny. They're really helpful. And I get like a huge amount of questions. As soon as the column goes up, my inbox is like flooded with questions. So I have great questions to answer, which makes the job fun because you want great questions. Speaking of which, here's the question that just literally came in from Carol. So the subject line is "Bullet Not So Proof Coffee." So Carol writes, "So I actually found your article on the butter car explosion, because guess what happened? I've been drinking Bulletproof coffee, which is regular Joe plus a tablespoon each of coconut oil, butter, and heavy cream. One day on my way to work, my travel mug wasn't screwed on as well as I thought it was, and the rest is all nightmares. I soaked up as much as I could, and I've been using different cleaners combined with a portable spot and stain cleaner, but summer weather is here, and so is the lingering smell of rancid butter. There isn't much staining, and what there is, I don't care about, but I'm in great need of something to dissolve this devil's concoction enough to banish the odor. Please help." All right, Carol, so I have help for you, and I have help for Charles, and here's what it is. Okay, so first of all, Carol, take a page out of Charles's book and try the Osium. Because Osium is like a legit, really, really, really good odor neutralizer. It's the stuff, you guys have heard me talk about on the show before, because it's the stuff that stoners use to get the smell of weed out of their, you know, dorm room, basement, car, tour van, you know. It's really, really good stuff. I have to say, I'm kind of shocked that it didn't work for Charles, but also I'm not, because I think I can, from there, extrapolate what the bigger problem is going on here.
I have a theory too. About Charles, not
good.
About Carol.
Right, because I just sprung Carol on you.
Yes, but I do. I have a theory about Charles.
Good. Okay. I'm excited to hear it. And I wonder if it's going to be the same theory as my theory. We have not talked about this, you guys. This
not
is not
at
a setup.
All.
Okay. So let's talk about the Charles thing. So if Osium didn't do it, which I do think is actually going to help the Carol problem. And Carol, I want you to try that first. And then if that doesn't help you do the things that I'm telling Charles to. So the Osium didn't do it. You've got a deeper problem. I don't think it's unsolvable. And I hope it's not the thing that I suspected, maybe, that I think David might be also suspecting.
We are going into car talk territory here.
So actually, you know, it's funny that you say that, because I always say, you know, I grew up in Boston.
Yeah.
And so I grew up listening to car talk.
Yeah.
And I always say that the tone of Ask a Clean Person, both the show and the columns, is totally informed by being raised on a diet of This Old House, Julia Child, and Car Talk.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, That is what is at, that's like at the core of Ask a Clean Person, is you understand those three things, and that was what my little tiny weird brain was absorbing as a child, you'll completely understand my approach to my work.
I tell people that your podcast is like some mix between, it's like all about cleaning with a car talk, a mix between car talk and savage love. Where it's...
Oh, yeah. That's good. Thank you. That's a huge compliment, too.
Okay. Sorry. Go on.
Okay. So the first thing is, the first thing that I think you got to do is you have to move away from spray. Oseum is a spray. And I think you have to move away from like the aerosol spray type odor eliminator, the airborne odor eliminator, and use something that is a bit of a more long-term odor eliminator that will actually absorb odors out of the air. Something like the Bad Air Sponge, one of my old faves. Active charcoal, you guys hear me talk about that all the time. You can buy active charcoal in bricks. You can also buy it just like loose in pet supply stores in the section where they sell stuff for aquariums, because active charcoal is often used in aquariums. The other thing you can do is that Oseum does make canister style odor eliminators in addition to their sprays. So you could get an Oseum canister and just stick it, you know, under the seat and just like leave it there and let it do its thing. I think, though, that's only going to kind of scratch the surface, because I think actually what really is probably happening is that the smell is coming from the upholstery. I think your seats and maybe your rugs may have the smell embedded in them. In which case, what you're going to have to do, like, okay, look, baking soda is lovely. I don't think sprinkling it on the floor mats and praying is going to do a whole lot for an odor that Oseum couldn't touch. So forget the baking soda. You're going to have to take the mats out and actually wash them. Taking mats out and washing them is literally a hose and dish soap operation. So like you shouldn't use dish soap to wash the exterior of your car, but for the interior, actually dish soap is great.
Yeah.
And given that we've got a smell sitch going on here, I do think using Dr. Bronner's is going to be the smart way to go, because we know that the Castile soap formula is particularly great at odor elimination. So I would say take out the mats and give them a good scrubbing, washing with Dr. Bronner's. It's basically what you want is you want a hose, you want a scrub brush, and you want soap, and that's how you wash them. If they're carpeted mats, dry them in the sun. If they're rubber mats, dry them in the shade. The sun can cause like the rubber mats to kind of crack and dried out, and you don't want that. So that's like, that's also just your basic car mat washing instructions. Then for the upholstery, I do think you're going to have to go ahead and use an upholstery cleaning machine. You can use like a Resolve or something like that, but for doing an entire car, it's going to take you so long. You really owe it to yourself. And frankly, the upholstery cleaning machine is going to do a much, much better job of pulling out whatever is causing this wet dog smell. There probably was a wet dog in the car. It probably literally is wet dog. So here are your basic options for these. You can rent a rug doctor.
They're so much cheaper than you think.
It's $30.
It's crazy cheap.
And you get it for 24 hours. Right. Or 12 or 24 hours. Well, I think it's 24 hours.
Yes.
You could go hog wild with the rug doctor, you guys.
You
have it for a whole day.
Right.
I think renting the rug doctor, you rent them at literally every... No one notices it until you notice it. And then when you notice it, you never unnotice it. Every single grocery store in America offers rug doctor rental. I go to the world's smallest, crummiest grocery store in the East Village of Manhattan. They have rug doctor rentals. Like, every grocery store does. Grocery stores, hardware stores, home improvement stores, big box stores, like Lowe's,
there's no
home
excuse
Depot.
You can find a rug doctor.
And you have a car, so you can drive.
Right. In your wet dog car.
In your wet dog car.
Right.
The window's open.
Yeah.
Your head hanging out like a wet dog.
Right, exactly.
The other thing is you can buy one. The Wire Cutter has recommendations for the portable ones. Their recommendation is the... it's in my notes. Sorry, hang on one second. The Bissell Spot Clean Pro. That's $130. So yeah, it's $100 more than the rental, but then you got it. And I'm gonna talk a lot more about upholstery cleaning machines and why I think you should have one if you own a car when we get into our next questions. But generally speaking, those machines will run you in the like $70 to $150 range. Definitely, if you need a recommendation, go to the wire cutter, check them out, because they're amazing what they do. Okay. That is what I think you should do. I think that is about 75% chance that that's going to solve the problem. If it doesn't, I suspect that David and I are on the same page in what we think is actually really going on. David, I'm going to have you tell me first what you think.
Oh, I hope we are on the same page, because our knowing glances right now say that we are. There's something with the car. There is a leak somewhere. The car is getting moisture into it, which is creating a problem that even if you solve it, quote unquote, it's coming back.
Right.
So we're not addressing the root cause. Mm-hmm. There could be a hose that's leaking or something. It could be just condensation from the heating or cooling system. Mm-hmm. There's something where, or it could be a seal around the window. Anything like that, a little bit of moisture getting in there, you're going to get that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I read this and I was like, man, these are the big guns, so to speak. I mean, this is a solid effort.
I can tell you listen to this show regularly because you described Osium as the big guns. Yeah. And that's exactly what I'm like, you got to bring out the big guns.
Yeah, exactly. There's no baking soda. This is a solid effort to rid the car of the smell. So I think there's something else going on there. And I don't know if there's condensation coming back into the car, if you've got a seal around the window or something. That's my theory.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm at.
It's pretty close to mine, but mine was darker. I think there might be something dead in the car.
Okay, that's interesting, because I've been in that situation. It's not generally a wet dog smell.
It's not wet dog smell. And that was the reason that I was kind of like, I do think ultimately we're on the same page and that we agree that if you do all this stuff and it doesn't touch the smell, there is a bigger problem with the car itself. It's not that the seats smell like dog. It's that there's something with the car's inner workings.
Right.
And I'm just like macabre enough that I went to dead thing. But I think you're, first of all, you know more about cars than I do.
Hardly.
I mean, but more. And I think you're right. The description of the odor suggests that it's a moisture problem. So yeah, it probably is something leaking and you're just going to have to take it in and have it.
Yeah. And by the way, to listeners who in other car odor things, if you're detecting a tasty, almost pleasant maple syrup like scent in your car, that actually usually...
Those are pancake and syrup peeps.
Right. That actually is usually coolant that's leaking and burning.
Oh, interesting.
Usually it's that, or it can be some other kind of fluid. But generally speaking, I believe it's coolant that causes that. And coolant, by the way, same thing that, dogs famously like to lap up and then poison themselves with.
Oh,
because
no.
It's really sweet. It's a really, apparently it's like a sweet flavor. And I don't know if that has something to do with it, but if you do notice that, and now that I say it, I bet you will go, yeah, you know what? I have noticed that in cars before. That actually can be a problem caused with just a small coolant leak, which is nothing, you know, like catastrophic or anything,
right?
But something to keep in mind.
That's amazing. Great, good tip. All right, if you guys smell maple syrup, don't let your dogs anywhere near the car.
Get pancakes and then get your
and then pour some coolant
and
on
then,
it.
Yeah, then get your car checked out.
I love it. All right, this is a good time for us to take a quick break. David and I will be right back with more about your car cleaning questions. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow. Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr, and I'm joined by David Obachowski, the host of Jalopnik's Tempest podcast.
Hello.
Fantastic. Great podcast. Everyone, please listen to it. I'm probably saying this because I love it, but also because, like, I want you guys to get to do a lot more podcasts.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, like, this, I just...
This might be a good time to mention, actually. So, May 7th, Tuesday, I think is May 7th?
Okay, yep, yes.
Okay, that is when the season finale of Tempest airs. And, you know, let's finish strong. I mean, check out the whole season. It's, you know, I don't want to give too much away. It's okay. Definitely... more of a heart-wrenching one.
Okay.
But, you know, there's some laughs in it, too.
Man, the one about the tar truck. I was like, wow, I feel very down right now. But it was a beautiful story. And it was, I mean, and all of the people you talked to were, you know, even though they had endured a tragedy, they were happy and upbeat and had a positive outlook on life and... You know, it was like a show full of love, but yeah, it was a lot that was like, wow, man.
Yeah, I mean, the car is a symbol in a lot of these things for something, you know, some sort of basic joy and happiness, you know, where so, yeah, anyways.
Yeah. Great, 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 great show.
Thank you.
I've like just enjoyed it so much. All right, so we have some more less joyful car stories to share. People don't often come to me when they're feeling particularly joyful. I don't think I've ever really thought about that. But like, people come to me when things have gone terribly wrong in their lives.
And I must say, because I'm a longtime reader, I've seen people, I think, have written you at 3 o'clock in the morning in like dire situations.
Yeah.
They're like, oh my God. Like, I mean, you are the wolf, Harvey Keitel in Pulp Fiction. You are the fixer.
I am.
The
greatest, guys, actually the greatest compliment I've ever been paid was my my cousin's husband watched me save the day on things. I won't go into what happened because it's a family story. You can't, can't air the dirty laundry, so to speak. but he watched me save the day on a Thanksgiving, and he just looked at me and was like, my God. You're like the wolf from Pulp Fiction. I was like, Vinay, that is the nicest thing anyone has ever said to me in my life. Thank you.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm a fixer. I mean, and I'm a fixer, you know, cleaning is kind of my jam, obviously, professionally. But like, I'm a fixer in all kinds of other ways. I do try really hard not to get into my fixerism unless people have asked me to, because there's like, a line between fixerism and like meddlerism.
Sure.
Yeah.
You can see something, I can fix that. But then you have to say, I can't.
But
I
like, or not even that, but just like, not everyone wants someone to fix everything for them.
Right.
And sometimes it's really annoying to have.
That's true.
It's a good thing about this job is that it lets me channel my more annoying traits so that hopefully I'm not like doing them in my personal life. Alrighty, so we've got the next two questions they're similar. One is like not that big a deal. One just sucks, man. but you know I love disaster stories. So here I'm gonna have you read the first question from Nate.
From Nate.
Yes.
Nate asks, well, you asked for it. I have an Odyssey with upholstery on the armrests, particularly on the driver's side. This is, let's say, not the original color anymore. Any tips that don't involve hours of scrubbing?
Yes.
Okay. I'm particularly excited about this because I am very familiar with the Odyssey. This was the tour vehicle. You just listened to the episode.
I picked this question before I listened to the van episode. And when I heard you talk about the Odyssey, I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah. So this is awesome.
I also want to say one thing. I don't think I spoiled. The van episode, I feel like, isn't, you can't really spoil that. Because the joy is just in the storytelling of all this, like, what happens when a band goes on tour in a van.
Yeah.
I loved the van names. That was a really nice little detail that was in there that made the episode even more fun than it already was.
My favorite was the Nostromo.
I think really, that's great. Really good. They were really funny. All right. Yeah. Because it's just an armrest, there is something that it's, I mean, I don't know that you could scrub an armrest for hours anyway. It's an armrest. I mean, I guess you could, but like, it's not that much real estate. Okay. So when we were answering the question about the wet dog, I talked about the upholstery cleaner. So here's the thing. Using a machine is really going to be your best option. Absolutely going to be the best option. It's going to be the fastest. It's going to get it the cleanest. It's literally, it's like an armrest is probably going to take you 2 minutes using an upholstery cleaning machine. And if you're going to go rent one, just do the whole car. I mean, knock yourself out. The other thing that's so great about using the upholstery cleaning machines is that because of their nature where they force cleaning solution into upholstery and then suck it back out and deposit it into a tank, you then have to dump the tank out, which means you have dirty wash water that you can take a photo or a video of and you can tweet it at me for Wash Water Wednesday. So, you know, just an added bonus of using the machine.
Yes.
Wash Water Wednesday is like the best and weirdest thing I do. I swear.
It is like strangely captivating though.
It really is. Like,
yeah.
I was talking about this when we did the last episode with Ask a Manager. I was saying that like, no one has like written a trend piece about me and how I like write about cleaning for men and all of this stuff. But really, this is the part I didn't say. Really, the trend piece that I want someone to write is about Wash Water Wednesday.
Yeah.
Like, it's so weird. So anyway, so the machine is going to be the best option. But also, look, let's level. This is just an armrest. And like, you might not want to go to all the trouble of renting a machine. You might not want to buy a machine. You might not even want to use it if you already have one. Resolve. Upholstery cleaner, the stuff that comes in the can. Get the stuff in the can that's the foaming kind. I find that works better than the spray, trigger spray kind for whatever reason. We actually, when I was in the office today to deal with Balaban and his lack of knowledge about waxing a car, literally wax on, wax off.
Come like, on, Balaban.
Like, I just couldn't even believe it of all the questions. I was like, you're going to ask me how to paint the fence later too? Like,
right.
What?
Yeah.
We got this, there was a big box of part of the reason that I went into the office today was because I had gotten this big box of products from Turtle Wax that was waiting for me. And I thought that there would be wax in there for Balaban. So I was like, I'll come up, I'll get the package. We'll open it up and see what's in there. And there was some wax products in there, but they were like combo cleaner and wax. Like, and I don't know, Kristen and I felt a little skeptical because we were like, these feel like shampoo and conditioner in one products, and like, we don't really know if we trust them.
Right.
But in any event, I was up there, and one of the products that they had included was a carpet and upholstery cleaner, you know, for cars. But you can use it for anything. Actually, I did use it in the office on their couch. Their couch had a stain on it, and it was pretty good. So it was it comes in a can. It's a foaming cleaner. You shake it up, you spray it on, and then the can itself had a brush attached to the top that you just like scrubbed the cleaner in and then until it was kind of like gone. And it worked really well. The only thing was that I'll tell you, the cleaner was good. It worked to take the stain right out. It was very fast. It smelled quite nice. The only thing I'm going to ding it on that actually to me is a pretty big thing to ding it on is that the brush itself, because of the way that it was affixed to the cap, could only be used vertically. Mm. Otherwise, it would like tip off the cap. So it just wasn't very well designed. So anyway, but that Turtle Wax product is definitely an option. Or you can get the Foaming Resolve. And what you'll do is you'll use it in concert with an upholstery brush. There's a brand called Mothers that makes them. You can buy them on Amazon. They're like $5. You could also just use like, just like how I always talk about the laundry brush and how you don't need a quote-unquote real laundry brush, like an old toothbrush or an old nail brush will do just fine. Probably nail brush, just that it will cover more surface area. So, I mean, that's really all. Like, that's all you need. You could also actually do the same thing with diluted liquid laundry detergent. Tide Ultra Stain Release, I'll tell you guys, is just, like, really, truly the best detergent for stain removal. But any liquid laundry detergent, you just want to dilute it well. The one thing is, like, you just want to be sparing in your use of products because you are talking about upholstery. So if you're not using the extraction, which can suck liquid out, you don't want to saturate the upholstery. Otherwise, you're going to end up with wet dog.
Exactly.
And you're going to be in Charles's situation. And, you know, then it's then the tail is the head is eating the tail.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Everything's a mess. And I guess I have more work to do if everything is a mess. So that's good. So, yeah, that's really it. Like, that's all you need to do.
And just a quick note here to say that the armrest on the Odyssey is clutch. I am not a fan of armrests in cars. But having toured so many years in a Honda Odyssey, which is crazy because we should have been in just a regular van, not a minivan. But that armrest is really, really, it's a nice armrest. It's going to get well worn.
Yeah.
I can see why that has suffered the most damage. So, you know, I think, though, there's also, like, I could appreciate the effort to clean it, but also, you know, it's a utilitarian thing here.
True.
You know, if it, I don't know. I just want to say, I mean, I think it should be cleaned, but even stained, that armrest in the Odyssey is one of the happiest memories that I have of that van.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
You know what I realize is that it's nowhere in the letter at all, in the email at all. And when I also have to say, the reason that he opened with "you asked for it" was because this was one of the emails I got like within an hour of my last Jalopnik column going up. Because I was like, you know, remember, like, send me your questions. I always want them, blah, blah, blah. So that's why they're like, you asked for it. You're getting it. I'm like, okay, yes, of course I did. It's literally called Ask a Clean Person. I don't have a job if people don't ask me things. Is that I, in my mind's eye, picture the interior as being maroon.
Oh, no.
No?
Well, I was picturing it as tan.
Because that was what yours was?
Exactly. Yeah. That's also going to show, although maroon can be pretty nasty with a stain. I would not want a stained maroon interior.
No. No.
Mm-mm.
I mean, maroon interiors are already kind of janky anyway. I love them for like their inherent tackiness.
If you've got an
80s... But like that's definitely the tackiest interior color, right? Maroon.
My first car had a maroon interior.
Of the standards.
I had an 84 Accord. It was awful. And it had, like, you know, that fabric maroon interior. It was just, everything about that car was a disaster. Interior included.
I love it. I never had a first car story because I've never driven. Sort of sad. It's like a thing I've totally missed out on. All right, we got our last question. I think, you guys, I'm going to tell you before we, because this is such a bad spill. But there is a happy ending. So I don't want anyone to be worried. There is a happy ending. So Kai, this came on Twitter and there was a photo.
Kai tweets, "So my coconut curry leaked. And then when I went to pick up my takeaway paper bag, this happened. A glorious end to a shitty Monday."
So you guys, when she says this happened, she included a photo of the passenger side seat. Cloth, absolutely 100%, not a leather seat. It always has to be cloth interior when shit like this happens. This thing was absolutely splatter. I mean, there was an entire takeaway container of coconut curry on this seat. The seat had been becurried. Like, it was so bad. I was like, holy shit. And the worst thing is like, it was pretty much the holy grail of horrible things to spill, because not only was it shrimp, so it was fish, so you had the smell, but it was this yellow curry, which looked to me like it clearly had turmeric in it. And I was like, no, not the turmeric. I was like, I don't even know who to tell first. If I tell Kristen Lee first, because it's a food spill in a car, or if I tell Jaya Saxena, because she's my turmeric person. Like, I don't even know what to do, you guys. So the thing is that, as I said, there was a happy ending before I could even, like, respond and be like, here's what you do. She was like, actually, I had an upholstery cleaner. I got it out. She sent back another photo of it all clean. She was like, no problem. It took like 5, maybe 10 minutes total to do it. And it was fine. And she sent me the seat was totally clean. She was like, it maybe smells a little bit like coconut in here, but like nothing that won't air out in a little bit. So I say that because, you know, obviously we talked a lot about the upholstery cleaners, and I do kind of think that, like, if you have a car or a couch, both of which are fairly expensive items, on or in which you are almost 100% guaranteed to spill something, it's probably worth your money to just get one of these machines. And I want to talk about something that I actually, like, I just keep forgetting to, like, actually order it on Amazon, but I'm going to get, there's a Bissell machine that is a handheld, portable, cordless upholstery cleaning machine. It's also $69, which I was like, yeah, I have to buy that. And then I'll just tell everyone all the time, it was $69, you guys. I'm a child. That thing is called the Pet Strain Eraser. Now, the thing is that I'm going to buy it for two reasons. One, I don't have a lot. I live in a tiny, tiny apartment. I don't actually have a couch. So I don't have a lot of upholstered furniture. I have a few items of upholstered furniture, but not really a lot. I also don't have a place to store even the portable corded ones. And I just don't really need them. Because I do have some upholstered furniture that I would like to clean. And because I live in a 6-floor walk up where I'm not all that keen to rent the rug doctor and haul it up.
Those are heavy.
Yeah. I'm not keen to haul it up 6 flights of stairs. Even, I mean, the cost is great, of course, but, like, yeah. The other thing that I really, really want the little portable cordless one for is I want to take it with me places and horrify people with, like, what their office chair is.
Oh,
like.
Oh, God.
Yeah, right? Wouldn't that be a fun
That's
game to play?
That's just evil.
I am evil.
Look at you.
I am evil. Like, I'm so excited, you guys. Like, my little, like, grubby paws are, like, you know, tenting right now. So I'm gonna get this thing. So the only thing, and I'll do, like, a full review once it comes and I've used it and blah blah blah. The only thing that I'm not, like, I'm not that psyched about. I did ask the Bissell people this. I asked them what the run time and charge time is, and it's a 15-minute run time and on a 4-hour charge, which I wish it were a 20-minute run time. I just feel like 15 minutes is a little short.
Unless you're just cleaning an armrest.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. For, like, the kinds of jobs I'm planning to do with this thing and that you would do with this thing, 15 minutes is probably 15 minutes is longer than you think, for sure.
Huh, okay.
But with that said, I just want to make a note of that. I just want to make a note that that was kind of one thing that I was like, but once I get it and I use it, I will report back. So that thing, as I said, is $69. I think that's a great, great price. Just to reiterate that the wire cutter for the portable corded ones, recommends the Bissell Spot Clean Pro, which is $130. And then I thought we would round this out. I know that we did this the last time I had the Jalops on. We did the Thanksgiving episode. I know we talked a lot about this, but I thought it would be good to, like, reiterate that when you're traveling with food, it always goes on the floor. Never put it on the seat. Because if it spills on the floor, it's easy to take a mat out and clean that. Or throw it away and get a new one. The seat...
Right. And
however,
one of the things that that I like to do, and this isn't like some, like, crazy, wow, how did you come up with that? It's probably fairly obvious, is, you know, like many of you, we order things from Amazon and, you know, the boxes kind of pile up before they get recycled or whatever. But those are good to keep a few boxes around for transporting food. You put them in the cardboard box and then they slide into your trunk or they slide between the front and the back seats on the floor. It keeps them stable. It keeps them contained. And if there's a spill, then you've got a little bit of a layer to contain things.
Right. Yeah. It's,
and then also you get to, instead of carrying 5 individual things, you're just carrying one box.
Yeah.
So I'm a big proponent of keeping a couple boxes around.
That's really
for this.
Smart.
So
that's,
yeah,
really, really smart. I like that. The other thing is, like, it is just handy to, like, have boxes around from time to time. Like, you can slice them up and throw them down on the floor when it's like really snowy, and then like you aren't getting salt all over your mats and all that stuff. Like, you know, lots of good uses for rocks. Yeah, we talked about when we did the Thanksgiving episode, we talked about like all different ways to transport food safely. From like, you know, boxes, and like we had like bungee cord rig ups and all of this kind of stuff. But really, like, the one rule to always remember, like, if we can learn a lesson from poor Kai and her coconut shrimp curry, is like, just don't put it on the seat. Even if you do nothing else, don't put food on the seat. The other thing is like I like the box thing because it should better prevent a spill from happening in the first place, which means you're not going to lose your food, because like, that's sad. I'm sure she was really looking forward to eating that shrimp curry.
Can I tell you a tragic story?
It looks delicious lying there on that seat,
right? Grab a spoon.
Yeah.
Can I just tell you a tragic story?
Absolutely.
Okay,
you can.
So about Thanksgiving transporting food, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday because of the food. I just love turkey, and I love the gravy.
You love turkey?
I love turkey.
Oh, my God.
I know, it's boring, but I just, it's, anyways. We transported the Thanksgiving leftovers, those precious leftovers, perfectly from my in-laws' house to our house, got out of the car, and then I have two young children, was getting the kids out of the car, and proceeded to just drop the leftovers all over the garage floor.
No.
Now, for those of you who don't have a garage, the floor of the garage is not something that you want to be mixing with your food. No. And to see the turkey, the precious, moist turkey, that truly was a sad moment.
Man.
The car was clean, though, so that, you know, I guess that's the upshot.
I'm so sorry. I will make you feel better. I have my own Thanksgiving food disaster story. And it was maybe almost equally as painful. So I'm a very, very good cook, but there are a few things that I do not have a touch with, and one of those things is gravy. A couple years ago on Thanksgiving, I mean, I always do much, I give it the old college try every year, and it's never bad. It's just I just don't have the touch for it, right? So a couple of years ago, I was doing Thanksgiving, and I finally, for the first time in my life, got the gravy right. It was beautiful. It was silky. It had everything.
I can taste it.
I was so proud of myself. and I poured it into the bowl, and while I was carrying the bowl from the kitchen to the sideboard, I tripped. I spilled the fucking gravy all over the floor. We didn't even get to eat it. I was like, no.
Yes.
it was the cruelest thing ever.
And it instantaneously becomes three times more delicious than it actually was.
I should say that is not true, that we didn't get to eat it. There were enough stayed in the bowl that we had some gravy.
Oh. I see.
But it was not a lot of gravy. I mean, it wasn't like enough gravy to be like drenching the mashed potatoes and the turkey and the stuffing, and then have leftover gravy for moist maker sandwiches. You know what I mean? Like, it was just enough for everyone to get a little taste and compliment my gravy cooking, if not carrying, skills.
Do you feel like the universe was trying to tell you something in that moment?
I actually don't know if I've made gravy since then.
Yeah.
I think that might have been the last time I even tried. I was like, oh, God damn it.
That's awful.
It's really sad.
I do have these moments where like we roast chickens regularly, and I make our like homemade chicken stock regularly.
I do that often.
And I'm just like, oh, precious, precious stock. And then as I'm like carrying the stock out to the freezer, I'm just like, I'm totally gonna drop these, you know, like all over. And it's never happened, but I know it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, you just like know eventually.
And I'm just gonna be like, sweet, 5 hours, like, just fucking all over the floor, you know.
I haven't roasted a chicken in ages, and I've been threatening to because I have a bag of scraps in my freezer. And I was like, I got to roast the chicken so I can have the carcass to make the stock. Yeah. And then I realized there were like two problems that I, one, waited until, I waited too long. And now the weather is way too hot to roast the chicken.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And two, I was way overdue to clean my oven, which I just did. And I have like a very strict rule that like within like 3 months of cleaning the oven, I will not roast a chicken because roasting chicken is what makes me need to clean my oven.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think I have to wait till fall for stock. But yeah, I do the same thing.
It's the first sign of fall, actually, is when you pop that chicken in the oven.
That's right.
You know?
That's true, actually. That is a good, like, harbinger of fall. Yeah. What's to come.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, indeed. All right, you guys. Well, listen, this has been great. David, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for making Tempest.
Oh, my God.
Jalopnik's very first podcast. It's wonderful, you guys. Please, please, please go listen to it. It is just a delight. It really is.
Thank you.
And I'm excited for more because I know that there will be because it was so good.
Thank you. And I'm so thrilled to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, this is great. All right, you guys, that'll do it for this episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. If you like what you heard today, please consider becoming a patron by going to patreon.com/askacleanperson and selecting one of the amazing rewards I'm offering to my listeners. I would also love it if you would subscribe on Acast or iTunes, leave a rating, and tell your pals about this weird little cleaning show that you love so much. And of course, thanks to you, my listeners, for joining me for another episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.